بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سيدنا شعر عارف بالله ذات اقتصادت معنا شاه حكيم محمد اختر صاحب نور الله مرقده. The title is نفس دشمن ہے دشمن کو ناشاد کر. اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر, اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر, دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر, دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر, روح کو نور تقوا سے تو شاد کر, روح کو نور تقوا سے تو شاد کر. نفس دشمن ہے دشمن کو ناشاد کر, نفس دشمن ہے دشمن کو ناشاد کر, دل کو نور خدا سے تو آباد کر, دل کو نور خدا سے تو آباد کر, اور گناہوں کی خواہش کو برباد کر, اور گناہوں کی خواہش کو برباد کر. حمد سے اس زبان کو تو حمد کر, حمد سے اس زبان کو تو حمد کر, سر کو چوکٹ پہ ان کی تو سجاد کر, سر کو چوکٹ پہ ان کی تو سجاد کر, قلب و جا کو تو اس در پہ آباد کر, قلب و جا کو تو اس در پہ آباد کر, اور سکون کی روجا کو خلاد کر, اور سکون دلو جا کو خلاد کر, اپنی خوشیوں کو اختر تو برباد کر, اپنی خوشیوں کو اختر تو برباد کر, اپنے رب کی خوشی سے دل آباد کر, اپنے رب کی خوشی سے دل آباد کر, اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر, دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد This beautiful poem of our honorable illustrious Dada Shaykh Arif Billah Rumi Waqt Tabriz Zamana Mujaddid Zamana Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Nawar Allah Marqadahu Hazrat is reminding us that in the spot of the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and for what Allah Ta'ala has sent us here to be engaged in the obedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala our greatest enemy is our inner self, our nafs, our desires. And if a person doesn't make islah of his nafs, then this nafs can destroy us totally. As Allah Ta'ala reminds us, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ That this nafs, this inner desires of yours, doesn't just command you towards evil, it commands you very strongly. In the superlative form, Allah is saying, لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ And beautifully, our Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi used to explain, that bisu is it will pull you towards evil. Bisu is on the scale of the Urdu word bichu. Bichu means a scorpion. How a scorpion will sting you, and it is extremely poisonous. More worse than the poison of the body is the poison of the nafs and the poison of the soul. This is such a poison that if a person doesn't realize, this will take him straight to the fire of Jahannam. So Hazrat is explaining us here and making us understand that a person should realize nafs se dushman hai, dushman ko nashad kar. That your nafs, your inner self, your own self is your greatest enemy. As Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that inna aada aduwaka alladhi bayna jambayk, that your greater enemy is between your two shoulders, more greater than shaitan also. Because shaitan himself, who must lead him? His own desires, his own passion, that desire for ego, etc. So this nafs of ours is a very, very cunning and dangerous enemy, which Allah Ta'ala has commanded us that a person should make. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى If you want to be successful, then you have to make islah of this nafs. And islah, you can't do it alone. You need the company of a Shaykh Kamil, a perfect guide and a spiritual guide that will take you through this course. And Allah has brought us here for this great purpose, yet we realize I have come here solely and only for my islah, for my own islah personally, and we all should realize and have this great intention. Then Hazrat explains that to reach this objective of getting close to Allah and bringing your nafs under control, a person has to beg Allah Ta'ala for this on your own also, and just coming to the majlis and just taking bath is not sufficient. A person have to beg Allah Rabbul Izzat and then accordingly take the treatment. So Hazrat says, Apne Malik se uth kar ke faryad kar, dil ko sajda mein ro ro ke abad kar. That get up now, middle of the night, or any time during the day also, and put your head down in sajda and beg Allah Ta'ala, cry in the court of Allah Rabbul Izzat, and make your heart now inhabited, in other words, with the nur of Allah. If you let your desires control you, then your heart will be totally in turmoil, and your heart will be in all the time in difficult condition. So to remove that difficult condition, a person has to beg Allah Rabbul Izzat for his islam. One is we beg Allah Ta'ala, as our mashayikh has taught us, that a person, if you read 2 rakat salah daily, and you say, Oh Allah, my nafs is running havoc with me, that I am totally useless, I intend, but what can my intentions do? I try and make an effort, my efforts are totally useless. Oh Allah, you have mentioned, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا That if it is not the fadl, the special favor of Allah and the mercy of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala will never ever purify anybody. Never ever. So we beg Allah, our Shaykh taught us, our Dada Shaykh has taught us, that if you know this ayat, read it. Otherwise, beg Allah Ta'ala through the means of this, the favor of yours and this rahmat that you have mentioned in this ayat. Oh Allah, we beg you that make us among those that you desire our islah. And then Allah Ta'ala has brought us here. Now we open our hearts and we come with that intention of Islam. And then see, Al-Hazrat explains, now how your Islam will take place. How will this nafs come under control? Ruh ko noore taqwa se tu shaad kar. Nafs se dushman hai, dushman ko na shaad kar. That remember, your nafs must always, your desires must be under your ruh, under your soul. In other words, give your soul nourishment. Don't give your nafs, your desires only nourishment. It means whatever your nafs desires, wherever it wants to go, whatever it wants to eat, whether it is junk food, whatever. If you only feed your nafs and you keep your soul hungry, that is, you don't give the food of the soul is the nur of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And that is the zikr of Allah Rabbul Izzat, the obedience of the commands of Allah Rabbul Izzat and staying away from sin. So the nafs, that is your ruh, has to be in control of the nafs. And how to do that? That fill this nafs of yours with the nur of taqwa. That is the love of Allah Ta'ala. And see that now your ruh will all the time be happy. That now your nafs is under control. Otherwise this nafs, if your ruh is weak, the ruh is actually the driver. But if the driver is weak and the car is too fast, then where you'll crash. So actually more important is that a person makes an effort on his ruh, his soul, to get the nur of Allah, and that is tilawat of Qur'an-i Kareem, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, and that will only get strength here from the majalis of the Ahlullah. Then a person will get inclined to that and immediately you'll realize, nafs se dushman hai, dushman ko nashad kar. That nafs, that my inner soul, my inner passion and desires, dear, this is my enemy. So how can I make my enemy happy? I should make my soul happy. And that is by strengthening my soul, giving more food to the soul. That is more important than my breakfast in the morning. First is the breakfast of the soul. That is the Fajr Salah, then our Zikr, our Tilawat, etc. Then Hazrat says, when you make an effort in this line, then you'll find, Dil ko noore khuda se tu abad kar, aur gunao ki khaish ko barbaad kar. Now with the noor of Allah Rabbul Izzat, that is the zikr of Allah Rabbul Izzat, tilawat of Qur'an-i Kareem, the majalis of the Ahlullah of our Shaykh, then you'll find your heart now will be inhabited with peace and happiness of obeying the commands of Allah. You'll enjoy now obeying the commands of Allah. And now what will destroy you, your desires, your passion, especially haram desires, Allah save me and all of us. Now you're able to gunao ki khaish ko barbaad kar. Now when the desire of sin comes, you do destroy and you totally crush your desires for sin. And in fact you address your nafs and you tell your nafs, what have you got them? Are you so foolish that you want to take me to the fire of Jahannam? And never ever obey our nafs. And so that is why it is extremely important that a person has to make an effort on his soul and not just lead a life of unmindfulness and just as we want to, we just carry on our life. No, Allah Ta'ala has sent us here to get connected to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And that is the success Allah Ta'ala wants to give us. And that is only if we do this cause of tazkiyah, the marifat of Allah Rabbul Izzat, a cause in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, then the ruh will become strong. And the ruh, which is the driver, it will able to control the scar of yours. It will able to control your nafs. And all haram desires now, you'll able to crush it. And so much so, not only haram desires, even those things that are permissible, but are not on a level that Allah Ta'ala will be more pleased with something better than that. You'll able to stay away from even permissible things. But most important, to bring the nafs under control and to realize that I need to make my Islam. And this Islam is not only for a few days. It's not only for 40 days or 4 months. It is till the end of our life. Till the last breath comes out. Because so beautifully our Mashayikh have explained that when you make your Islam, then to a great degree your nafs come under control. And you think, no, now I'm a farishta, now I'm an angel. But very soon, if you just become unmindful of your nafs, the nafs is like a snake. Very soon it will turn around and it will sting you. So a person has to be all the time conscious and realize Never ever trust your nafs and think that, no, I make my zikr, I'm a big sheikh now, I can even look at woman or talk to woman, etc. That is a destroyer. So Hazrat is saying that we all the time just destroy the desire of sin also. When that desire comes, it's going to come. Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَلْهَمَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا. We have put the desire for sin in your heart also, but we gave you the ability of taqwa. So bulge your taqwa, the strong brakes of yours. And how to do that? Hamd se izzuba ku tahammad kar. Sir ku chokat pe unki tu sajjad kar. Now make your tongue accustomed to the zikr of Allah. Let your tongue be busy all the time with the praises of Allah. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And then whenever you get the opportunity, put your head at the threshold of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And become a sajjad, a person that is engaged of lot of sajda with Allah Rabbul Izzat. And see the enjoyment a person will get. As Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, that Allahu Akbar, the greatest enjoyment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Qurratu aini fi salah. The greatest enjoyment I get is in my salah. When a person engaged in the zikr of Allah Rabbul Izzat, now to come for salah will be extremely easy, not easy, enjoyable. And as Hazrat teaches us, now we'll be looking forward to the month of Ramadan Sharif, that the closest a person can be to Allah Ta'ala is in sajda. And Allah Rabbul Izzat wants us to get close to Him. And Allah Ta'ala is giving us now 40 sajdas extra. A person should be eager for that. But this will come when we come to these majalis with the intention of Islam. We start making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning and evening. And we put our head down crying to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And engage in all as much as sajda as we can. As Hazrat explains, the closest you can get to Allah Rabbul Izzat is through the faraiz. And then closer and closer by the sunan and then the nawafil. All the mustahabbat. These are not that if you want to do it, you perform it. If you don't want to, you don't. This is the means to get the love of Allah, to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. So a person makes an effort, not only on your faraz and your wajib and your sunnati muakkada, all the nawafil also. All the extra salah, which is a means to get closer to Allah Rabbul Izzat, become a sajjad, become a person who enjoys making sajda in the court of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And if a person does this, قلب وجاكو تو اس در پہ عباد کر اور سکون دل وجاكو کو خلاد کر. Now your heart and your soul, just become the obedient slave of Allah Ta'ala. Become a abbad, or that person who realizes his object of creation, that Allah has created me to be in the worship of Allah all the time. In other words, to be in the obedience of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And this will come when a person corrects his salah and be punctual with his salah and do a cause in salah. That means a person will become a true abid. And a person all the time will want to be in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Then see what every person wants, and Allah wants to give us this, the peace and contentment of the heart, peace of mind. Hazrat says that now when you engage in the obedience of Allah, and you all the time in the worship of Allah Rabbul Izzat, and you become a true slave of Allah, then you'll see you'll get peace and contentment forever in your heart. In this world already you'll get the peace, and because that connection of Allah Ta'ala will come, and already in this world you'll get a taste of Jannat. That Allah bi zikrillah tatma'innul qulub. Allah Ta'ala reminds us, listen attentively, only when you engage in the zikr of Allah Rabbul Izzat. In other words, it starts with the tongue. You make your zikr daily, but it has to penetrate into the heart. And it will penetrate in the heart when a person makes an effort on his salah, and a person makes sajda in front of Allah, and cry over his condition. Every moment, our past life and even present, a person will realize that every moment I'm still faltering. I'm still weak in my salah. And when a person does this, you'll find all the worries of dunya will go away. And the solution and the treatment for all type of depression, etc., is only in this. Coming to the majalis of the mashayikh, engaging the zikr of Allah, and then being punctual with our salah, etc. Then Hazrat finally mentioned, اپنی خوشیوں کو اکثر تو برباد کر. اپنے رب کی خوشی سے دل آباد کر. If you want this everlasting peace and happiness and contentment in your life, no matter what the outward conditions may be, even you may be sick, but you'll be happy, you'll be contented. How Allah Ta'ala keeps me, I am happy with that. So Hazrat says, then if you want this everlasting, then destroy your pleasures. Whatever you desire, you destroy that for the happiness of Allah. That whatever Allah decides for me, I am happy with that. And that is a very high stage which is called Raza bil Qaza. That we happy totally with the decree of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And this is what we have to work, we have to make an effort to achieve this and try to realize that this is what I have to love for. That Allah Ta'ala's happiness is above all my pleasures and even in my ibadat. What Allah wants from me only for the pleasure of Allah, that is what I should be sacrificing myself for. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding that we take this great lesson from this majlis.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem, amma ba'd. Hazrat Dhanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned 25 chapters in the Kitab Hayatul Muslimin. How can the Muslims come out from their problems and come into to attain the help of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? The last chapter he writes, the distinguishing characteristics of the nation of Islam. It is essential for Muslims to be distinguished from the followers of other religions and cultures. Muslims should be recognizable from the external appearances. External appearances is among the salient features of Islam. In such external appearance, the identity of the nation is maintained, and Muslims are guarded against assimilation into other non-Muslim cultures. Islam therefore stresses the importance of external appearances. Islam prohibits unnecessary adoption of the ways and appearances of other nations. Certain acts which eliminate a Muslim's identity are haram, even if they are not the special characteristics of other communities. Thus, shaving or cutting of the beard, wearing shorts which exposes part of the satr, etc., are completely forbidden. If a Muslim, along with the adoption of such haram ways, despises or mocks at such shari prohibitions, his act of transgression progresses from sin to kufr. He loses his iman if he mocks it. Then there are certain things which are not exclusive to any particular community. The adoption of such things will be permissible. If a form of dress is particular with a non-Muslim community, for example, a sari is particular with a Hindu community, so it will be sinful for Muslims to adopt such dress, even if the Sharia requirements in regard to sadr concealment are fulfilled by such attire. Another example of prohibited imitation is to eat sitting at tables with knives and forks. This way of eating is the manner of an alien community. Islam has taught its adherents a special way of conduct in eating. Therefore, it will not be permissible to adopt the ways of non-Muslims in this regard, even if such ways have no religious undertones. If the ways adopted from the kuffara of religious import as well, then it will amount to kufr, example wearing a cross, etc. Then there are certain things which are of neither religious nor cultural import. Such things are of real use and benefit. Even if such things are the inventions of the kuffar, there will be nothing wrong in adopting them. This applies to inventions of transport, communications, weapons, and other items of benefit. However, in such matters, the layman should not determine the permissibility or prohibition of anything. He should obtain the advice and direction of the ulama, who will properly inform him. It is also prohibited to adopt the ways and appearances of such Muslims who happen to be fustak and bidatis. It is also prohibited for men to imitate women and vice versa. Some ayat of the Quran and a hadith on the subject will now be cited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the shaitan said, I will teach them to ruin their appearance made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Examples of ruining the appearances bestowed to us by Allah ta'ala are shaving the beard, tattooing, women cutting their hair, etc. Different rules apply to the changing of appearances. Certain changes pertain to adornment, and are wajib. Example, the clipping of the moustache, cutting the nails, removal of the hairs below the navel and under the arms. So these changes a person must make, but certain changes are prohibited. And some changes are permissible. Example, for a man to shave the hair on his head, to cut the beard after it has exceeded a foot length, etc.
Such permissible ways of adornment are decided on by the Sharia and not by custom. Custom is not on par with the Sharia. Furthermore, custom is subject to the change with the times and attitudes of people, but not so the Sharia. In another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not incline towards the transgressors, for then the fire will touch you. The Quran prohibits Muslims from inclining to the ways, cultures and customs of the kuffar. Inclining towards them is punishable by the fire of Jahannam, as is stated in the above verse. It is evident that if one adopts a culture or the ways of a particular people, it will be because of one's pleasure for such ways and customs. The heart having inclined towards the aliens adopts their ways, which it finds pleasing and attractive. But Islam forbids its followers to incline towards the transgressors and the kuffar. As Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu narrated that once he had on two garments which were dyed a saffron color. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commented, these are among the attire of the kuffar. Do not wear these. No, such bright colored garments are not permissible for men. As Rukana radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the turban tied on top of a topi is a differentiating factor between the mushrikeen and us. Wearing of turbans is common to both Muslims and non-Muslims. The Islamic aversion for imitation is so great, it considered it necessary to create a difference in the wearing of the turban, even if such difference could not be visibly seen. Hence Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the Muslims who donned the turban to have a topi on as well. The turban will be tied on top of the topi. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever imitates a nation in its ways and cultures becomes one of them. If a Muslim adopts the appearance of the kafir and fasiq, he will be associated with them in the sense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.